Welcome to the SOAP video series from Oak Tree Community Church. And we are working our way through the book of Galatians.
Yes, we are.
Six chapters in only 4 weeks. And they're not long chapters, but they are packed.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in here, isn't there?
Stuff in here. And I mentioned the quick outline. We're in week three, which brings us to chapters 4 and a little bit into chapter 5.
Just a little bit in 5.
And then we'll finish up next week. So the first two chapters are sort of introductory, sort of sets the scene, what's going on. Paul has to defend his apostleship and his authority.
Because a lot of personal information about Paul we learn, and about the problem, too.
Right.
There was some Jewish people that had come in and said, hey, you can be a Christian, that's great, but you have to be circumcised.
Right. And the circumcision was sort of like the tip of the iceberg, if you can pardon the...
And, oh, by the way, we have all these other laws that you have to follow, too.
And so that really... And it gives us an idea that Paul was getting a lot of pushback and backlash for fighting for the doctrine that he was fighting for.
Right.
And so it's not from men. I got it from Jesus himself. And he seems very, you use the term that he was angry.
Yeah, angry, but he was also on his back foot a little bit.
He
was
very defensive almost. And so we get that through chapters 1 and 2. In chapters 3 and 4, then he sort of goes on offensive, right?
Right.
Where he's like, here's the doctrine. Here's what you need to know. Here's what I've been telling you. You know, quoting a lot of scripture, Old Testament, you know, justification through faith alone.
Making the case.
An legal argument almost, right?
Yep.
And then chapters 5 and 6 will be sort of a middle ground, not defensive, not offensive, but so...
Well, also, you've been calling it application, I think.
Yeah, application. Right. Let's walk through.
What should they do in their lives?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with this information?
So how do we live this out?
Yeah. Right?
So we are still in a major doctrinal section, sort of transitioning over into the application in chapter 5.
Yeah, and it's not exact, right? Like chapters 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. It's pretty close, though.
Pretty close. But it's really weird. You know, chapter and verse divisions, for the most part, I mean, they're not inspired. And we get a sense of that because chapter 5, verse 1 is sort of like a bridge verse. And it seems, if you read it with one tone, it feels like it should be in chapter 4. If you read it with a different tone, it feels like it should be with chapter 5, and it sort of helps bridge that from the doctrine into the application. So we're picking up real early in chapter 4.
Right. So last week we ended with Paul saying, hey guys, look, you're not slaves anymore. And instead, if you are a Christian, what do you say? You're sons of God. And then actually your heirs, too, heirs with Jesus, and which, you know, a great place to end last week. And then Paul picks up on that this week.
Yep.
And the first reading that we have this week, Paul explains it, and he's talking to the Gentiles now, and he's saying, look, you guys had these false gods, I get it, but there were rules and regulations under that. There were these laws that you had to follow, and you were, quote, slaves to these gods. You don't have that anymore. Now you got these guys coming in with the Jewish law trying to do the same thing to you. Why would you do that? You don't make yourself a slave anymore.
I think this sort of is a hermeneutics thing, you know, interpretation and observation and stuff. Yeah. How do you know?
The loaded question right off the bat.
How do we know? In chapter 3, he's making this big argument toward Jews, a lot of us and we under the law, and we said in last week's video that this is not directed specifically to Gentiles. They were never under the law, and you know, the church is not under the law. But you just said, and I agree with you that, you know, he's talking to Gentiles now. How do we know that there's a shift there?
Well, the shift that I see, one, you start with the law, right? When they're talking about the law, generally you're talking to Jewish people.
Right.
But I think the big point was the other gods.
Yeah.
And we talk separate too. So you'd brought out that, you know, these Jewish people, they were off on their doctrine, but they weren't believing in false gods.
Right.
So it had, it wasn't them.
Right.
You know, so if it wasn't them, who was it? Well, we have some Gentiles, which means they weren't Christians yet, or may or may not have been, you know, they're on their way to becoming Christians, which meant they had their own religion before that.
Right.
So it was probably those false gods.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. When he says you were enslaved, verse 9, enslaved, or verse 8 rather, to beings that by nature are not gods at all, formerly when you did not know God. That is exactly the same phrase he used to the Gentiles in Ephesians chapter 2. You did not know God, you were without God in the world, and they were worshiping other gods, something that Israel did not really never did again after the exile.
Right.
Right. So just as a point of Bible study, right, that, I mean, that's part of the purpose of these videos,
right,
is to bring these things out.
Right.
He doesn't say, and now let me speak to you Gentiles. Sometimes he says that. Here he didn't. So how do we know? That's how we know.
Yeah. So verse 9 and 10, there's another cool part in there, too.
Man, I really love this.
He put it in his notes, so I had to go back and read it. And I was like, oh, that is kind of cool.
Now that you have come to know God, or rather, be known by God. I'm just like, two things in there. First of all, just the whole...
us?
He's writing this, right?
Yeah.
And so he writes something. I mean, it's inspired, but it's still Paul writing a letter. So he writes something, he's like, actually... So when I do that when I'm teaching, it's okay. I'm following Paul's
practice. Yeah.
Actually, what I should say is, I really like that. But then just the whole be known by God.
Yeah. Well, it is kind of a humbling thing to think that God knows us.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we become Christians at a different level even. It's like, wow.
Well, and around here we say, know him better, love him more. Know him better, love him more. We want to know him.
Yeah, our knowledge of him.
Knowing and us knowing him is different than...
him knowing us.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, scarier, actually.
Well, there is the whole judgment side of things. Nothing is hidden from his sight, the whole thing. But, you know, sometimes we get caught up in this, I'm a nobody, I'm just one person out of 8 billion, you know, plus how many over the years, what does God really care about somebody like me? And Paul says, it's not just that we know him, but that he actually does know us.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
That is. Yeah. Personal relationship.
And that might be the encouragement somebody needed to see this week.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Good point. Well, there's another cool section here because Paul kind of breaks from his doctrine and he gets personal. And, we know that Paul had issues. he seemed to have a physical issue that humbled him.
Yeah.
And he asked Jesus to take it away, or God to take it away, and God said no.
Nope.
And Paul had to deal with it.
Yep.
And, you know, the rumors always were, you know, bad eyes, something about his eyes. And we'll see, must be next week.
No, it's right here.
No, but I mean next week for when
oh, Paul.
Paul writes, see what big letters that I write. Well, that shows up here in Galatians, where Paul is either writing the letter or he is writing part of it, and he has to use big letters to see. But in this section too, there's some cool things in here where he's pleading his case to these people that he knows.
Yeah.
These people that he evangelized to and that he brought to God.
Yep.
Brought to Jesus and now are moving in a different direction. And he's using really everything he can to try to get them to rethink their position.
Yeah.
And come back. And he talks about a physical illness when he first proclaimed the gospel there. And then a line or two later, it says, you would have pulled your own eyes out and given them to me.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why we think there's an eyesight issue.
Yeah, the big letters, there is another place, and off the top of my head, I don't remember. I think it's in Corinthians, one of the Corinthians, where he says, where people charge him, man, you write a mean letter, but you're not very impressive in person. right? Yeah. It's sort of like what we would say, you know, call keyboard warriors. It's like, come out from behind your computer and say that, right? Right. They were charging him 2,000 years ago. Come out from behind your pen and paper and say that, buddy. Yeah. You know, he shows up and, you know, whatever is not very impressive in person.
Right.
And part of this could be the eyesight thing. By the way, I've been noticing that I have to write my letters a little bit bigger.
I hear you.
More recently, I can't see small print as well as I used to.
Yep. Welcome to the normal. Doesn't get any better either.
Yeah. So, if you wanted to make the thorn in the flesh is what you're talking about there in 2 Corinthians 12. And I would agree. I think it's the eyesight because it says that he had the vision, went to heaven, and he saw things and he heard things that he wasn't able to, wasn't supposed to, or wasn't able to tell about, share, right? And in order to keep me humble, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. So you saw things that normal people aren't allowed to see. So maybe you can't see things that normal people are allowed to see. Maybe, nice.
Yeah.
You know, that's speculation, yeah, right. but there's, it seems to fit, right?
Right.
And so then he goes into in the last part of chapter 4. Let's see here. Oh, I had a couple of things in there, but we, in verses 15 and 16, what happened to you and your attitude toward me? Am I now your enemy? Right?
Right.
I'm telling you the truth, right?
Yeah, because he went. They seemed to be friends. He led them to God. You know, they were close and tight. And he must have gotten a letter.
Yeah.
Or somebody came.
Yeah.
But he's like, well, what happened?
What changed?
Yeah, right.
What changed? And then something. There's this really neat application that is so easy to overlook. In verses 17 and 18, they court you. These are the Jewish legalists. They court you eagerly, but for no good purpose. They want to exclude you so that you would seek them. It's good to be sought for a good purpose at times. And it's sort of like, you're like, okay, I don't know, just push through that. I think what he's saying is that these Jewish legalists were coming in and they actually felt good. Some higher ups like us,
yeah.
You know, they want us to follow them. They want us to be on their side. And it's, you know, we want to be wanted. Right.
Right.
And I think what Paul's saying here is it's okay to be wanted, but you got to be careful when somebody's just building you up and flattering you and whatever for their own agenda. And once they get their agenda, they're going to toss you aside.
Right. We still see that.
And we see that all the time today. Yeah. And I think that's what he's saying in here. Mm. It's can be easy to overlook if you just blow through it. Right. So I wanted to point that out.
Great. So at the end of chapter 4, Paul talks about, he appeals for them again to believe in faith versus the law.
Right.
And he uses an
allegory.
Yeah, an allegory using two of Abraham's wives and two of his sons.
Yeah.
So what's going on here?
Well, basically it's just in verse 21 he says, you who want to be under the law, don't you understand what it is? Don't you understand what's going on here, right? And then he said, Abraham had two wives. He had Sarah, who was a free wife, and Hagar was a slave, right? And they each had a son. And so in this whole context of heirship, inheritance, one was an heir and one was not. One was free, one was a slave. Big deal, okay, right? Then he said, so let me build this out. Let me give you an illustration. And in fact, he said, I'm going to do it in an allegory, which tells me a couple of things. First of all, this was not his normal way of teaching, right? If he had to explain, I'm going to do an allegory is an extended metaphor, okay? It's a lot of likes, it's a lot of as, and sort of let's compare some things.
Right,
right.
But not the reality, or not exactly what happened.
Right.
It'd be
a lot of comparison. So he's going to say that, you know, Sarah is Mount Zion. It's like, okay, well, Sarah's not Mount Zion, you know, Hagar's not Mount Sinai. So he's making a lot of comparisons. And so we still interpret it literally, because it doesn't make sense if there's not a literal Mount Zion, a literal Mount Sinai, a literal Sarah, Ishmael, Hagar, you know. So we take all of those literal elements, and then he says, this is an allegory. They are standing in for something else. So it's still a little literal interpretation, because he's told us that it's symbolic.
Right. It says in there.
Yeah. Right. And that's the whole point of, you know, well, you know, you can't interpret everything literally. You can, because he told us that it's literally, these literal things are going to be symbolic, and he told us what they're going to be symbolic for.
Yeah, right, right. Well, so at the end of the day, we're talking about the whole slave versus free,
yeah,
which you had talked about a couple
he's
times.
He's already explained before. It. Yeah, right. he's just trying to use a different way to explain the same thing. And again, allegory is not his normal way of teaching, and I think it's important that he brings it out. I know I don't normally do this, but maybe this will help you understand it, right? And it comes back to the same thing. You can either enslave yourself under the law, which, by the way, you don't get to pick and choose. It's going to be the whole thing.
Yeah, that's the part that's coming up.
Yeah, yep. Or you can be free. Right. And then we get into chapter 5.
Jesus' grace.
Yeah. By grace through faith alone in Christ alone. Yeah. And then basically the whole application section is, okay, so how do we live as free people? What does freedom really mean? Which we get into a little bit here in chapter 5 this week, and then we finish up next week.
Yeah. So in the first part of chapter 5, he continues with the whole slave and free thing. Mm-hmm. And the idea is circumcision is the big thing on the list. You know, these Gentiles are being told they, in order to be a Christian, they had to be circumcised. And Paul's like, no. So here's the deal. If you have to be circumcised because you think it has any meaning, you have to do the whole law.
Yeah.
Right. And I think the analogy for us would be the Bible, right? We can't pick and choose verses of the Bible, or yeah, we can't pick and choose the pieces that we want. So if you want to be Jewish and you want to follow the Jewish law, then follow the whole Jewish law. But it's not needed for Christianity.
And it doesn't gain you anything,
yeah,
right? And that he specifically says, you know, it doesn't gain you anything. A lot of times today we see people in churches say, well, you know, we need to obey the Ten Commandments, but not the whole law. Or we need to, you know, the law, you can break it down into moral and ceremonial and civil, and all we have to do is the moral stuff, you know, but we can, you know, we can eat pork, but we can't, you know, do this or that. Like, Paul says it's an all or nothing deal.
Yeah.
You don't get to pick and choose, like you said. And you don't, you know, God never separated it into moral and ceremony. God said, here's the law. Obey the law or don't obey the law, but here's the law. And Gentiles, unless they joined Israel, were never under that law. And the church has never been under that law. Right. So I think the principle is that just equality or similarity is not equality, right? So the law of Christ that we find in the New Testament that we are under has some similarities to the law of Moses. But that doesn't make them the same thing, you know, that, you know, right. So.
Well, and specifically here is the Abrahamic covenant, right? Which is the sign of the Abrahamic covenant is the circumcision.
Circumcision is the sign of the Abrahamic covenant. It became the sign of the old covenant as well, but okay, only because of the Abrahamic covenant, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So he ends this section for this week with the only thing that really matters is faith working through love, and I love that part. And then he goes into the golden rule right from there, right? Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And it really sets up next week, I think, with the fruit of the spirits very nicely, and we can see where he's going to be going into next week.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. The golden rule almost doesn't go far enough, right?
Okay.
Because the golden rule, at least the way it's typically said in Matthew 7, is, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. you can sort of float that a couple of different ways. And I think that's why Paul said, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. It actually even goes further than just the golden rule, you know. And he said, but again, but the whole law can be summed up in a single commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. But we're still not under the law. The law of Christ goes beyond the law of Moses. Mm-hmm. So we're, you know.
Yeah, nice.
Still going beyond that. So I guess, you know, my thing would be, as I would wrap up this section, is verse 13. You were called to freedom, but don't use your freedom to as an opportunity to indulge yourself. Use your freedom to serve.
Right.
Number one, don't be enslaved to the law. Be free in Christ. For free, verse 1, for freedom Christ set us free. So what are you going to use your freedom to do? Pig out? on you? Or... Yeah. I think you said it, brotherly affection.
Right.
Brotherly affection is, you know, on the path.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that brings us to verse 15. We'll pick up in verse 16 next week. And then
finish on Galatians.
And finish Galatians, yeah. Yeah. Quick tour through a very, very important book.
Yeah.
That really deserves a lot of time and study, you know, in a different format. So.
Right. Hint, hint.
I might be doing one of those here soon. Yeah. So.
I'm putting a time frame on.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I want to be careful. You know, I don't want to back myself into something that I can't, you know, make a promise I can't fulfill. But at the same time, you know, it's there's a lot of good stuff in here that we just don't have the time to cover in these videos. So.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that we don't want you to engage with these videos. So. Make sure that you're telling us the things that you see, the things that you appreciate. Make sure that you're sharing them with other people, because if you find them helpful, then other people do as well. If you don't find them helpful, I'm sure somebody out there will. So make sure that you're sharing them. And we'll see you back here next time as we finish the book of Galatians.
Bye, everybody.